I speak to you in the name of God, world maker, tomb burster, spirit of life everlasting. Amen. Give me the tomb again, Morgan, please. Take a good, close, hard look at the inside of this tomb. What do you see? Nothing, really. For there is nothing to see. Nothing but emptiness draped in a shroud. Not a shred of meaning, just the desolation of questions unanswered and mysteries veiled in uncertainty. Okay, Morgan. No one to tell us what or how it happened. No federal inquiry, no film at 11. And most importantly, no body. When we gather with Mary around the tomb, it is open, empty, and abandoned by all. Think of it. For something at the very heart of our faith, that new life begins this way, that is a mystery. That when it comes to the resurrection, we begin with nothing but a tomb full of nothing, and flimsy swatches of cloth for answers. And the resurrection is supposed to be the most profound event ever to touch our lives. The empty tomb. It is shadowed and shrouded in mystery. And yet, we are here to proclaim that its emptiness fills us with meaning. Because this empty tomb changed everything forever. From this empty tomb, for the past 2,000 years, we have drawn forth all of our faith and hope for this world, for our lives, and for what awaits us when our lives end. And yet we arrive at the empty tomb every year, always with questions, doubts, uncertainties. Like Mary, many of us arrive at the tomb burdened by the cares of the world and of our lives. Yet we come to it again and again to find meaning, to have the shadowed and empty places of our lives filled again with light and peace and hope. And from the empty tomb, we proclaim the Christ of eternity alive somehow in us right now. We don't know how. But then again, we don't know the hows of anything that really matters in our lives. How do you know that you're loved? Isn't it enough that you know? And just as love, just as our very lives are in some sense mysteries that we shall never fathom, so is the resurrection. What we do know is that the resurrection is the fulfillment of God's relationship with us. Christ being raised from the dead is for us sharing in the mystery of God's own life. And when we gaze into the tomb, we don't look so that we might believe. That's not why you're here, for me to prove it to you. Rather, in the resurrection, just as in our own relationships, in the things that matter most to us, we keep believing so that we can see the truth more clearly. Beginning today, we gaze into an empty tomb, not to see what is missing from it or what's missing from our lives. We gaze into the empty tomb to see how we have been filled. Don't you see? We've already lived Good Friday. We have experienced pain and death and darkness and absence. And we know what those things look like. We've been living it. But today, we choose to see not in terms of what is missing, what's not there, what could be better, or what is broken. We choose to see what is there, how full the empty tomb really is. There's this prayer that we've been saying every day during Lent, a group of us in the church, praying for you who are on our parish list every day. We always end this way. May all evil be redeemed by God's love, all pain transformed through the suffering of Christ, and all dying glorified by his risen life. We've been saying that so that we can proclaim it today. With what's going on in the world and in our lives, it's not easy to see fullness of life in a tomb that is empty. I get that. So when I have difficulty seeing fullness in the empty tomb, here's a parable from Cynthia Bourgeau, the Episcopal mystic, that helps me see things more clearly. Imagine this. Once upon a time in the land, in the West, there was a kingdom of acorns living at the foot of a towering old oak tree. Since the citizens of this kingdom were modern westernized acorns, they lived reasonably and sensibly, with focused energy and purposeful discipline. Since the inhabitants of this acorn kingdom were midlife baby boomer acorns, they bought shelves of self-help books and participated in regular workshops to become the best acorns they could be. They took seminars on getting all you can out of your shell. They had support groups for acorns who had been bruised in the original fall from the tree. And they had recovery groups for acorns raised in dysfunctional acorn families. But one day, in the midst of this busy kingdom of acorns, a stranger suddenly appeared. He was kind of dirty and his shell was cracked, which made an immediate negative impression on all the other nice, well-groomed acorns. One day, this visitor sat beneath that oak tree and he told a mind-bending tale. Looking upward at the great tree towering above, he looked at all of the acorns gathered around him, and he said, "We are that." "Ridiculous," the other acorn said. "How could a tiny acorn possibly be a great oak reaching into the heavens?" But one persistent acorn questioned the visitor, "So tell us then, how do we become that?" "Well," the visitor said, "there are two things. First, you need to trust that the power to become a great oak has been given to you." And then he looked down at the ground and said, "And in order for that power that is in you to be released, to become that tree, you have to let go of all of your schemes and plans for your life and go down into the ground where your shell will crack open and that power that is in you will be released." "Nonsense," all the other acorns cried. "Why, if we let that happen, then we would no longer be acorns." It is Easter day. Christ is risen. The stone has been rolled away from the tomb, and out of the cracked shell of death, life abundant has grown beyond what we could ever imagine. And as it turns out, we have been fashioned for glory. Let's see the tomb again, Morgan. So look at it again. Use your imagination this time. Break out of your shell. Can you see fullness of life even in the emptiness? Can you see now that your gaze is supposed to go beyond the tomb to the world of endless possibilities that awaits beyond it? Can you see that if you only believe that that shroud lying there could be a mantle, that in conquering death, Jesus has clothed you in life and love everlasting? At the end of it all, do you see that tomb is not where life ends? It is where our life as the children of God begins. Can you see that we are called out of the emptiness of the tomb to fullness of life, to leave darkness and death and sin and regret behind us, and to take our first steps into new life, but never alone? Because, of course, God is always with us. Christ is risen. Hallelujah.